here with us tonight, joining us at the City Council meeting for the City of South Jordan. Today is Tuesday, August 15th, 2023, and we welcome each of you who are here with us in person and anyone who may join us online. Thank you for being with us tonight. My name is Dawn Ramsey. I have the privilege of serving as mayor of the City of South Jordan, along with this outstanding City Council. We have excellent public officials, and we appreciate them and all of their service, and our outstanding city staff, directors who join us up here, and all of those who work in the city. We appreciate each of you, and thank you for being here. We are going to open tonight with an invocation by our Director of City Commerce, Mr. Brian Priest, who I think is actually cleaning up the kitchen. I just saw that. Okay. I'm going to call an audible and see if Mr. Sunil Naidu, would you do it? Because you sit next to Brian. I'm going to go just kind of down the line. Oh, never mind. Dodge that. Mr. Priest, you are on the agenda to give us an invocation, if that's okay.
I really like that.
Yeah, thank you.
Our kind and gracious Father in heaven, we're deeply thankful to have the opportunity to meet here in this beautiful building in this great city, to meet together and discuss the business of the city. And we ask you to help us to have open minds and that we can understand one another and come to decisions that are best for the city as a whole. We ask you to protect those that protect us and work for us. And we ask you to help us to have a productive meeting. And we say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. We are now pleased to invite our police chief, Mr. Jeff Carr, to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
The audience, please rise.
Please repeat the Pledge of Allegiance with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Chief. All right, we have minutes that have been sent out from our City Council study meeting and our combined City Council and Redevelopment Agency meeting from August 1st, 2023. We need to approve those minutes, but before we do, I need to see if there's any questions or comments or amendments to be made to those minutes. Seeing none, can I get a motion to approve the draft minutes that have been sent out?
Madam Mayor, I'll move that we approve the minutes from our August 1st, 2023 City Council study meeting and our August 1st combined City Council and Redevelopment Agency meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Shelton. We have a motion by Mr. Shelton. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Any additional discussion regarding these minutes? Okay, seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Those minutes are approved. Thank you. Next up, we have our mayor and council reports. We're going to move through these with a little bit of haste, but it's an opportunity that we try to take to help the public know what it is we're doing. We've been elected to represent the residents of this city and would like to share some feedback about what we're doing in our respective roles to represent you and your interests. So is there someone that would like to go first?
I will.
Okay, please go ahead.
I think I have a couple pictures. Mr. Day, or Phil. Oh, so this is just right now ongoing this summer in our city, in the area of Daybreak. They're having ongoing summer concert series every Friday, Saturday. If any of you are interested, I know Mr. Marler, you're a big Eagles fan.
I am.
They're coming up.
Wow.
So you may want to go. This is just an example. I sit on the mosquito abatement board. I know, your most exciting board in the entire world. But I just have to say, I was up hiking to Red Pine Lake, which is this lake. They do not do a mosquito abatement at Red Pine Lake. And if any of you go hiking in the winters this summer, use your mosquito repellent. Because here in the Salt Lake Valley, we have mosquito abatement. It works very effectively. But when you get up into the Uintas, they'll eat you alive. So that's my plug for the mosquito abatement board that does such a great job at abating the mosquitoes in our valley. My family and I went and had a Bees baseball game opportunity. It was really great, and I'm super excited for forthcoming Bees coming to South Jordan City in the area of Daybreak. We had a blast. And I think, is that it for me? Yep, that's it.
Thank you. You need to go next?
Sure, I can go.
Please.
Yep. So I had the opportunity to meet with our financial advisor, Laura Lewis, and she talked a lot about bonds. It's good to kind of get a lot of the details and what the process is and why certain bonds are used. Learned a little bit more about PIDs as well in depth, and so she did a good job. So we're fortunate to have Laura and everything that she provides for us. Just an update. I talked with Joel Thompson and on the sewer district, and everything's still moving forward. They posted for the annexation into South Jordan City and haven't had any pushback on that. So at the next meeting, it'll be voted on, and I'm not seeing any concerns at the moment for that to completely move forward. So that's just an update on that.
Awesome.
I've reached out and had with Jason and Dustin on several issues throughout this week, and you guys have been really helpful talking about the several issues. I appreciate the responsiveness of staff and jumping on all of those issues as well. I did have several opportunities to go to Mulligan's recently, and I just wanted to say, it wasn't too long ago that there were drought conditions and things were looking pretty dry and on the golf course and how nice the course looks right now. I mean, Mulligan's is looking really nice, and each of the nights that I've been there, on the driving range trying to improve my golf game, it's the place has been packed, every night. I mean, I'm really glad that to see that, but it is widely and heavily used in our city, so it's doing a great job. There's a number of other things that I've interacted with some different residents and candidates, but nothing else that really needs to get brought before the council.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Mr. Shelton, would you like to go?
Sure.
I have a couple of pictures as well, I think. There we are after the Scarlet Pimpernel, which was a lot of fun. I imagine everybody here has attended, but great voices. I must say the music was phenomenal. I think there's another Scarlet Pimpernel picture. Yeah, there we are with the Pimpernel himself. Had a lot of fun with that. And then attended the Association of Municipal Councils meeting. And we had a tour of Murray City Hall, their new city hall. Quite an impressive building. I also attended the Jordan River Commission, and I noticed that Melanie sent us all an invitation for the Get to the River Festival, and that's a big deal at the Jordan River Commission right now. And so there's a number of activities here in South Jordan related to that. Attended the meeting with Laura Lewis and appreciated her expertise there. End of summer bash, went to that out at Highland Park. That was an amazing event. I don't know how our city staff and the Live Daybreak folks were involved. I don't know, but it was remarkable. And a lot of people there. I couldn't believe how many people there were. Attended the Legislative Policy Committee meeting, and we've talked about the information from that already that I think was pertinent to the council. So that's my report, Mayor.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Would you like to go?
Yes, please.
I have just a couple photos. Go slowly, if you would. This is a place that's near and dear to my heart, and that's the Jordan Ridge Park in my neighborhood. And I asked Jason and his team if they would consider putting some benches for the parents, grandparents to sit on. And you can go to the next one. There's another one that we just got poured probably this morning. I took these this afternoon. And then the last one right there, and you can kind of see where all of the benches are going to be. So I'm pleased to tell members of the public and of my district and even my my subdivision area, there will be a nice place to watch their kids recreate. And you'll notice that the all the equipment there is brand new. That took place this the spring as well. So again, thanks to Justin and or Jason and everyone else that participated in that. Really appreciate that. There were no architectural review committee meetings since we met last. I actually had a call from someone in an HOA in my district. I've been working with Mr. Lewis and his team about checking to see if they can actually put a residential building on a kind of a vacant parcel that's sitting there and actually put it on the tax rolls for the city. And so I appreciate Mr. Lewis and those folks who are working on that, probably Mr. Schaefermeyer as well. So, last but not least, my daughter and her family were here about a week. And one of the things that we took time to do was actually play miniature golf at Mulligan's. And I can tell you that my grandkids had just a ball. They had a riot. It was a lot of fun. So they do a great job there. Very efficient, and I appreciate the team there at Mulligan's. Thanks, Mayor. Awesome.
Thank you.
All right. Squire, please. I'll start off with a big thank you to Garden City, a little town along Bear Lake.
I want to go visit Garden City.
It was nice. spent a week up there. It was quite nice. But I wanted to join our last city council meeting, and my internet wasn't working where we were staying, and so I went to their city hall and asked if I could use their Wi-Fi, and they went out of their way to get me the correct password, and so I just wanted to publicly thank them.
We appreciate knowing that. Awesome. Thank you as well. That's nice to know. That's
cool. I also attended the meeting with the going over the different financing options to cities, and that was, just very beneficial to better understand each of those options. Had a lot going on with the Arts Council. Today had an Arts Master Plan meeting, and that's coming along really well, and seems kind of strange to say, but I'm actually excited for this Master Plan to roll out. I think it's taking an approach that will really help guide South Jordan instead of just telling us, oh, you need these things to improve the arts in your city. It's really, surrounded about us as a city and how we can grow in the arts. So it's going to be, I think, a great document. And from that, they're kind of finishing their round table interviews. And something that I thought was very interesting they pointed out was that there's definitely a demand for residents wanting more art classes, programs like that. But the consultant said from doing these roundtable interviews, he'd say probably the number one thing he would recommend based off of those is residents are wanting dedicated art venues in the city of South Jordan.
Yeah.
Not just sharing spaces. There's, of course, always opportunity to continue to share some spaces. But, there's starting to be quite the demand for actual art venues, dedicated art venues. From our Arts Council meeting, just want to let you guys know, we're going to, I think it's beginning of September, going to be rolling out a new program. It's called Art Venture. And what it is, it's to encourage residents to go out and interact with art in the city. A lot of it right now will be the murals throughout the entire city. And there'll be questions that you can print off from the city website. Fill those out after you go visit the different art installations, and then return it to the Gehl Center, and you'll get some type of little prize, but your family will be entered into contest, well, drawing for a larger prize sponsored by the Arts Council. So I think that will be a fun program to get the residents out of their houses and exploring the city. And Janelle, am I okay to announce the your project? Yeah, your van? So I've just been super excited about this one, and the whole Arts Council is, and we're glad we got Janelle to share it with us. We're basically taking one of the rec vans and turning it into a giant coloring board. We're going to put a printable wrap on to the vehicle, in which then at different venues, activities going on, residents can use dry erase markers to color on the van. So just think that's a fun, interactive project, and we're hoping to have it tied in with some other things going on in the city with Light the Night, and yeah, we're just excited about that. And I think that wraps everything up, Mayor.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to leave out all of the gazillion boring meetings, because there's a lot of them. But some really good work being done, though, and we talked a little bit in our last meeting about what's being done at the league level and at WFRC as we're preparing for this next legislative session, and we'll keep that going. I want to focus on the things that are the funner moments of my last 2 weeks. This is also at Mulligan's. So we also had our two little tiny grandbabies in town here with us, and so had a lot of fun having them here to visit. This is our oldest grandson, our two grandsons right there. First time ever golfing, first time holding a golf club. Loved it. And that first picture was our four-year-old grandson got a legit, authentic hole-in-one. And I wish I had recorded it because we captured pretty much every other moment. But I couldn't believe it. Anyway, yeah, that was a really fun day. And we will, our daughter just got back last night. And so before they go back home, we'll probably go to Mulligan's again this week so she can see the boys play and see how fun that was. But we had a great time and just appreciate having that resource in our city, having that amenity in our city, and it was really fun. So I love that so many of us have been able to go in the last couple weeks. Had the chance to go out and visit with Representative Owens came for a visit. So Burgess Owens came, and as you know, he represents us in the United States House of Representatives. And he had some of his team and the Larry H. Miller real estate development team, and we met in Daybreak and poured over some maps and some plans and talked a lot about transit, because, you know, that's the way I steer every direction over there, so that's exactly what I did. And all questions lead to transit and certain needs that we have, you know, and how, as a member of the committees that Representative Owens has worked really hard to become part of, we could use his partnership and help in helping us at the state level with influence and support, and then also at the federal level, as we work to continue to meet the transit needs that exist out here in this part of the valley. So it was a great morning. It was a great visit. I appreciated that, and it was good to be with the folks from the real estate team at Larry H. Miller and Congressman Owens, and these conversations will continue. I thanked him so much for his help and work for us so far and the success that we've had through his efforts and our combined efforts, and he's on board to continue to help. He's very supportive of what we're doing and the hard work that we're trying to do and the heavy lift that it is to make sure that we get this right. He is fully supportive. So we will continue to work with him and partner with him. This was also at the end of Summer Bash, and it's not very clear blown up like that, but it was dark, and there were so many people. And I did talk to Dan Rogerson, who runs the Live Daybreak, and he said by their numbers, there are at least 8,000 people there. He said it's higher than that, but that's the minimum. A lot of people, good, there you go, that gives you a little bit better idea. I just thought, how can I document this? And it's hard to even adequately document it, but it was amazing. And I want to thank Janelle. I looked for Janelle, and we didn't cross paths, but Janelle and her team and everyone, I know, she's working all over. And anyway, thank you to everyone on our part. We had our public safety were there. They did fantastic. We had so many people there. I had a chance to visit with a lot of our team that were there and to thank them for their efforts. And one thing I do want to give a shout out, because it's the first time that South Jordan has partnered with Live Daybreak on this, I appreciated that in the drone show, and I was watching for it thinking, oh, I certainly hope there's something like that in there. And I appreciated that they did have our city logo in there and that was part of what also came up. And so I tried to snap a picture. It was dark and crowded, but That was fun. That was fun to have, and they did a good job, and people really enjoyed the event, and I thought that was a really great event for us to partner on by hosting it at our park and having our public safety, and they actually were busy and active as we were leaving. Some lady, it was a minor thing that happened to her, but anyway, they were taking good care of her and the whole thing from an attendee perspective went really well and was awesome. So I wasn't doing the work Janelle was doing, you know, and team. But it was a really great event. So appreciated the chance for us to partner on that. And there's a lot of good work being done. And some of it is fun like that and flashy. Most of it isn't. Most of it is the boring meeting stuff. That's a lot of hours of boring meetings and lots of coordination and work. There's been an awful lot of that, but it's all good things.
Yeah.
Good things happening. So that is my report. And plus we look very forward to being able to get the splash pad back online, and I'm hoping it comes back together before my grandkids go home. But if not, then I don't know. Someday they'll get to use it. But thank you to everybody working hard after the storm that was crazy and the flooding, and it really caused a lot of challenges for us in this city. And we didn't declare a state of emergency. We didn't reach that point like Draper did. But a sinkhole is not common, and having UDOT take care of that was appreciated. And our team and our staff were working. Well, I don't think Dustin went home that night. Just working around the clock on so many things in the city that needed to take place.
I didn't get to see the second half of the Scarlet Pimpernel because the audience was sitting in a lake.
We had some serious flooding, and it caused a lot of problems. And so I say that lightheartedly about the splash pad, because of course I'd love to take him to the splash pad, but I just so appreciate the work being done to try to come up with what we need to get it repaired and get it put back together, because some things are out of our control, and just a lot of good work has been done. So thank you to the staff for working so hard on all of that.
Fortunately, we were able to go to the splash pad when my family was here, and we had a blast, and there must have been 200 people there. I mean, kids and adults and just having a wonderful time. So I think there's a lot of kids out there that are really excited to have it back and running. So
yeah, especially before school starts. And for a lot of kids in our area, some kids started this week in different parts of the state and different schools, but in our area, a lot of kids go back to school this next week.
So. And Mayor, we're at the mercy now of getting some pumps shipped from out of state, so we're hoping that'll come in. It might be this weekend or even next weekend when it starts. So, but as soon as they come in, they're going to be installed.
Well, if you see me there and it's like creepy, like, what are you doing here without any little kids? It's because they had to go home, but I'm just going to go anyway. So anyway, okay, thank you. All right. Next, we're going to have our public comment portion of the meeting. This is the opportunity that we have every meeting to invite you, members of the public who would like to speak to the council, share questions or concerns or ideas. As with every meeting, we always kind of cover the same standards that we are proud to have here in South Jordan. Everyone gets 3 minutes to speak, and we ask you for your name and address for the public record. But we're really proud of how we do things here in this city, because we have really respectful residents, and we give our commitment of respect and civil dialogue to each of you and ask the same. We may see things differently. We might have some disagreements about what could be done or should be done, but we're all here because we care about the city of South Jordan, and we all ultimately want the best things for the city. So with that, I will open the public comment period, and anyone who's here in person that would like to address the council, you're invited to come up to the microphone. Please give us your name and address, and you can have your 3 minutes. With this many visitors, I thought we'd maybe have a few more people interested in speaking. Okay. All right, seeing that, is there anyone online that would like to address the council? If so, please turn on your camera, give us a wave, and let us know. Okay. All right. Seeing none, we will close the public comment portion of this meeting and move on to the presentation items that most of you are here for, the things that we are really, really excited about tonight. Item G1, we have the oath of office of the assistant city manager. We are thrilled to have Mr. Jason Rasmussen as our new assistant city manager and to have him take his oath of office tonight that will be administered by our city recorder, Mrs. Anna Crookston. So we'll invite you both to come down here and do that, and then we will... We're not going to come down and take a picture probably till we're done with all three. We'll take separate pictures, but it's more efficient. If you do yours, we do the next one, and then we'll come down. Okay.
Okay, raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Jason Rasmussen.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution. Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And I will discharge the duties.
And I will discharge the duties.
Of my office.
Of my office.
With fidelity.
With fidelity.
Please join me. This is not, we don't usually clap in this chamber, but sometimes we do. Please join me in welcoming and officially congratulating. Thank you. And just don't go too far. We'll be back down. Okay, next we are excited for the oath of office for the new Director of Public Works, Mr. Raymond Garrison. Looking very sharp in his new suit.
You ready for all our good meetings?
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, he looks so nice. It's great.
Thank you.
It's awesome. You look very nice.
Okay, raise your right hand, repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Raymond Garrison.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And I will discharge the duties of my office.
And I will discharge the duties of my office.
With fidelity.
With fidelity.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Ray. Thank you. All right, and finally, we have one more oath of office, and we are really looking forward to this. I'm like, where did he go? We are thrilled to invite Rob Hansen to come up and be sworn in as our new Deputy Police Chief for the City of South Jordan.
I state your name.
I, Rob Hansen.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And I will discharge the duties of my office.
And I will discharge the duties of my office.
With fidelity.
With fidelity.
Congratulations. So retirements bring about all sorts of changes, and we have some exciting changes here, and we appreciate it and congratulate all of you and welcome you. And now we're going to come down and take a couple of pictures, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. It doesn't matter who wants to go first. Come on up.
Family. Yeah. Well, family's here.
Let's take one without, and then one
okay.
We'll bring them up.
Perfect.
Okay, sure. Because I don't know if they want that one posted. So, and this one will be.
All right. 3, 2, 1. 3, 2, 1.
Awesome. We'd love to invite your family to come up and join us if they're willing. This brief window, and you've got everybody here, right?
Yep, perfect. Yep.
Awesome.
Well, except my two daughters.
Yeah, we all understand about that. Everybody is relative, right? When you get everybody you can.
We'll still scoot out a
yeah.
little bit here.
Going you're going to Peru, I heard.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's where I went. All right. 3, 2, 1.
Thanks,
yeah.
You guys. Thanks for coming.
Thank
I like
you.
Your shirt.
Thanks.
Very nice.
Awesome.
Okay. Great. Come on. Thank you. I'm just teasing. Yeah. Welcome to this level. I was like, what? What?
Yeah.
You get to know
so
us better
you.
Than you want. Awesome. Do you have anybody here?
No, they're online watching.
Okay.
At,
well, shout out to everybody
game.
Online. Yeah. And thank you to everyone watching online. Thanks for supporting me. Appreciate you. All right. Deputy Chief.
Yeah,
awesome. Very happy to have you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Is anybody here? You'd like to invite up? Well, come on up.
Service.
Oh, and your wife is online too?
Yeah, she's online.
Mrs. Deputy Chief, thank you for being here. Congratulations. Appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you guys.
Hey, Rob. Rob, you didn't shake my hand.
Sure, I'll be here often. So, Mayor, I'm glad that you took some pictures. These three gentlemen are fine gentlemen. Last week in my little newsletter to the employees, I shared their original employee photos from some 20 years ago.
Do you have those here?
And they were much appreciated by the rest of the staff.
I want to see them.
So I hope in 20 years we get to share these photos again.
Did you bring the ones?
I might be able to find them later.
I want to see those.
Yeah.
Awesome. Actually, if you would change all the pictures of me to me 20 years ago, I'd be fine with that. Like, I wouldn't have a problem with that at all. I'll send them to you. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Thank you. Mrs. Kristen, thank you. Appreciate that. All right. We have resolution R2023-40, adopting an amended citywide policy 110-02, drone operation. We're going to turn to our new assistant city manager, Mr. Jason Rasmussen, for this.
Thank you, Mayor. I don't have a presentation. The recommended changes to our drone policy is in the packet. I will summarize what those are. And this resolution is for you to approve and adopt the updated change to the drone policy. So in 2018, the city created a drone policy for city staff to use that guided them on proper operation and steps and risk controls when using drones as part of their duties here at the city. We've come a long way in the last 5 years in how we're using drones and what we're using them for. Drone use is a tool to accomplish our jobs, and so we use these selectively when the situation calls for it. So we have four different departments that use drones for various reasons. And so Sergeant Gee from the police department had recommended an update. It's been 5 years since we created the original policy. He recommended an update based on how we're using them and what we're doing in our current practices. And after reviewing the suggestions, executive staff concurred with that. So a summary of the changes, and these are pretty straightforward. The policy has been updated to allow the use of drones in emergency response efforts if needed. There's updated procedures if staff is operating a drone in an area where there is people or inhabited area. The training requirements in the policy have changed. The current policy says that there's at least 5 hours of experience by a city drone operator. Sergeant Gee is actually going to take on creating a new training program for city drone operators to receive very specific training in relation to how they use them for their job, and it'll be closer to 40 hours of training. And so we're upping the requirement and the level of training for drone operators here in the city. We are removing the requirement. The updated policy removes the requirement to notify the police department when anyone in the city uses a drone, any one of the approved operators uses it. We actually have a drone use group within the city, and they communicate internally so that everyone knows what they're doing. And so we just didn't see the need for that requirement to notify police when, say, someone from Rachel's group is using a drone. So we have a great internal drone team, and they communicate really well. And then lastly, there's a reference to an FAA website that's out of date, and so we updated that. So just a little bit of house cleaning. We have some very experienced and good operators. You see Josh Timothy, who's in Rachel's group, and the city events that he does. He does a phenomenal job. And this tool really is a great tool for police and also engineering as well. and by use by fire as well for certain operations. And so I'm recommending that these changes be adopted as part of this resolution, and would be happy to take any questions you may have.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions? It's fairly straightforward. I think they were described well. They're minor changes, housekeeping.
Correct.
But I think they make it better, cleaner.
It's pretty clear.
Go ahead, Mr. Lewis, has something.
Jason's being modest about our drone program. The drone program that's been established here in South Jordan is one of the best among most of the cities in the state of the Utah. We are often called upon to share our policy. That's one of the reasons we wanted to update it, was to bring it current. We've been asked to present this information at the upcoming Utah League of Cities and Towns as a best practices for other cities on how to establish their programs. We did ours from a very unified team approach. Rather than each department having their own program, we have a citywide program, and they all work together. And it's been phenomenal to see that. And we are leading the way. Other entities have called us to come and help them. The drones in our police department get called out all around the valley to go and assist. So we have a very robust program here, and it continues to grow, and we continue to lead the way. So thank you for considering these changes. They're needed in our policy.
Thank you.
Mr. Shelton. Kind of an unrelated question, but it just popped into my mind as I was reading through the material here, and that is, do we regulate private use of drones at all, or just curious about that?
Not to my knowledge. I think there are some requirements over some regulations over parks, public spaces owned by the city, but the FAA provides the guidelines and laws and restrictions for drone operation, as far as I'm concerned with or aware of. Excuse me.
Thank you.
Yep.
So that was my question, is in tandem with Mr. Shelton. This is for our city policy for city employees.
City employee drone use, yes.
The public, we as a city don't have rules other than, I remember years ago we established that at our parks, our city parks, we don't allow drones, right?
Correct.
Okay. So if a resident was annoyed with someone flying a drone and coming in and swooping, what would be their line of action?
Yeah, I may ask Ryan if...
I'd ask him to call Jason.
And then maybe I'd call Chief Carr.
You know, so the short answer is it depends, because it probably, or I know it depends on how high they're flying.
Okay.
You know, it can be a trespass if you're flying at you know, house level and stuff, but you right. go up very far, and now you're into the FAA where it requires licenses and flight plans. I mean, Josh, these guys are filing flight plans and obeying all that, because you can't fly them over people, and there's a whole bunch of rules and regulations, most of which I don't remember because I've only read them once many years ago. But from that standpoint, it depends on how high. I know from a few cases you can't shoot them out of the air with a shotgun legally. And there's stuff like that, because people do invade each other's privacy with them. So there, if someone's flying around the neighborhood and it's being annoying to a neighbor, I guess technically we could cite them with trespass and stuff. But, I mean, it'd have to raise to a high level. There's also, I mean, it could be stalking and harassment and other things if it's really pervasive, if they're looking in windows, things like that. Mm-hmm. In those cases, certainly call the police and they'll... We'll sort it out through that process.
I'm not aware of a lot of complaints in this area that we've received. I'm not aware of a lot of complaints in this area that we've received at the police department.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Go ahead.
So don't shoot the little drones. Is that right?
It's a funny case.
So are you able to actually put one, I mean, inside a building for this presentation? Are you going to be able to put a drone up in areas where people maybe are not standing? Just curious, and then I'm sure you have a lot of video that you're going to present, but are you able to do that, or is that not appropriate?
To put a drone inside a building?
Inside the
I'm talking about the Utah League of Cities and Towns presentation.
Oh, I don't know what
I don't
what we
think
have in
that
store.
Yeah, I don't think that we're planning on doing that. any kind of demonstration. Most of it is just going to be based on video stuff and discussing how the drone can be used in city operations, the various ways it can be used.
Thank you.
I had a demonstration from some of our firefighters on how they use it over a fire, over a hot spot. It was actually a house that was on fire, and I was down the street because it was the one that was just down the street from City Hall a couple of years ago and very near here, and was down the street with some of the neighbors and some of our team. And anyway, they showed me the screen and showed me how they use that to find the hot spots inside the house that are not identified just by the outside, you know, and it was fascinating. I felt like I learned a lot in just a brief tutorial. I was amazed at it.
And I should point out, it wasn't the fire department flying the drone that day. It was the police department. And that shows the teamwork that our folks have put together. So the fire department doesn't have to have their own drone. The police are able to come and support them in that effort and provide that tool. And if the guy from the police department can't operate it, he can borrow a guy from the communications team, because our guys train together, they know the equipment, and we can cover for each other and help.
And Mayor, Council, if you'll remember, a few years ago we had a house with a fairly large amount of explosives in it that we had to remove the house from the face of the earth. Well, as part of that process, they burned out the area of the home where the explosives were being manufactured, and actually I had a drone above it to make it sure it got to the correct, was it two? It made sure it got to the correct temperature, as I remember, Chief. And it was, and so the drones can also give you temperature readings, not just hot spots, but down to where we, that was one of the key pieces of removing it.
And so, again, that was multi groups within our city doing like different parts of those operations and coordinating it all together.
It's awesome. Well, thank you. Does anybody have any additional questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
If not, I will ask if there is a motion on resolution R2023-40 adopting an amended citywide policy 110-02 drone operations. Is there a motion on that resolution?
Mayor, I'll make a motion that we approve resolution R2023-40.
Thank you, Mr. McGuire. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Mrs. Zander. Any additional discussion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes. Thank you. Thank you to everybody who worked on that. All right, item I. We have some land use items. Item I-1, presentation on resolution R2023-25 and zoning ordinance 2023-03-Z, all related to the South Jordan City Townhomes proposed development. Well, I called it, I don't know if it's South Jordan, it's SJC. I don't know if that's an abbreviation, but I want to read it exactly how it says. The SJC Townhomes proposed development, Brian Adams on behalf of JL Salt Construction, Inc. and DBA Dream Home Builders. They are the applicants, and we'll turn it to our Director of Planning, Mr. Stephen Schaefermeyer.
Thank you, Mayor. As you know, this project has come before you in several different instances over the past year. So I'll give some brief background. If you need me to go back further, or if you have questions about where we've come from, I'm happy to talk about that. But I'll try to focus on what's changed between the last time you saw this in a public hearing, and then what's before you tonight. So it's just a reminder, this property is located on Redwood Road. It extends from Redwood Road to Beckstead. This is the future land use. As you can tell, all the property along Redwood Road has a future land use of mixed use. Not all of that property has to be used as mixed use, but if a rezone came before you, that's, as staff, what we would advise the owners that the intent is for this area to be mixed use. And this is the current zoning. It's agricultural zoning, which is in some ways kind of a holding zone in this city. So we don't proactively rezone properties. This is the site plan that was brought before you during the last public hearing in June. So any public that's here or online, this is what was presented in June. And I will, rather than go through the comments that were made by, both by the public and council during that meeting, I will turn to the new concept plan, because I think walking through all the changes that have happened between June 6th And today is probably the easiest way to go through a lot of the concerns. Obviously, there still may be those that are opposed to this use in this location, but in terms of specific asks, both from the public and the council, the applicant has tried to be responsive. So after the June 6th meeting where this was presented, we sat down with the applicant and went over the concerns. They had brought some changes to the plan, the concept plan. Again, they're requesting a residential multifamily product with commercial on Redwood Road. We went through all the comments. We talked through some of staff suggestion as well. They made some changes, came back to the council during a study session where additional requests and concerns were expressed by the council. The public hearing on June 6th closed. The council asked us to re-notice this as a public hearing. So although not required by our ordinances, we did send out notices again for a public hearing for tonight. This is what's being proposed tonight, and I'll walk through the changes. These are also in the memo that was prepared. It's on page 33 of the electronic packet, and there's a series of bullet points. So I'll try to walk through these bullet points quickly. If you have specific questions, let me know, and I can slow down or point things out. If you have any real like technical questions, probably leave those for the applicant. And normally we have time to ask questions after the public hearing. But one of the things that they did, just because of all the asks, of all the concerns, they ended up shrinking the commercial buildings on Redwood Road. So the buildings were, I mean, roughly cut in half, and provided a lot more parking, as you can tell between these two photo or these two concept plans. So they provided more parking for those buildings. They relocated units that were sort of on one side of the open space to by the commercial building, thereby combining some open space elements into a larger open space area. This also eliminated guest parking next to the central open space area, the idea being that there is also more parking being provided for the commercial piece. There, in the development agreement, there's still the requirement that there be an agreement between the commercial and the residential portions of this property, of this project, for shared parking. They had to adjust the private road in order to consolidate that space. So that's changed a little bit in design, but roughly looks about the same. And again, this creates a larger bowl and more usable central open area. The overall open space on the concept plan increased from 23,996 square feet to approximately 32,069 square feet. That's about 28.4% open space for the overall project acreage. Last time we met, there were some questions about what's normal for open space. Obviously, we have Daybreak, which has the 25% requirement. Our RM8 zone, which no longer exists, had an 18% open space requirement. So this is above both of those requirements. They also added some soft surface paths through the central open area to try to connect better the townhomes to the open space. They added, and we have this here. So initially the private road was right next to this existing residential on the north side. They've now moved the road approximately 9.5 feet. We talked about whether that should be a sidewalk or not. We went with just landscaping to avoid having people right next to that fence line. So they did that in order to create a better buffer, and you can see some of the planting that they are proposing. The landscaping will comply with our WaterWise ordinance. This also, and part of it was the elimination of units along the private road, but they were also able to push these units here to create a little more space in between the sidewalk and the units so that it wasn't just wall-to-wall. And that's about a 4-foot wide strip between the sidewalk and the homes. They also added a sidewalk on the north side here. One of the changes that happened between Planning Commission and City Council was a sidewalk through the project, but they added another sidewalk as well as the crosswalk right there to get through in order to get to Redwood Road on both sides of that private road. And they decreased the number of units along Beckstead Lane from 4 to 3. Again, that allowed them to push the road and also create some more space. And one of the concerns of residents across the street were units on Beckstead Lane. So there's now 3 instead of 4. In addition, they changed the architecture. And let me see if I have... Yeah, it's this one. They changed the architecture so that the rooftop deck... So there's a rooftop deck on the middle unit on Beckstead. One of the concerns was having people look over. So they've changed the architecture, bringing up this parapet. Well, this is where the actual roof deck is, but bringing up the parapet wall so that you don't look over. Other units have, again, the rooftop deck. I don't know if I have a good... You can see it on here. These are the rooftop decks. So the difference is these ones have railings, but the one along Beckstead that looks east across the street do not have the railings. So that's part of the development agreement. They also lowered the profile of the stairwells so that the entire building is less than 35 feet. That seemed to be a concern. Before, these stairwells, you can kind of see them right here. And that's from these units. That's how you access those rooftop decks. Before they went above that 35 feet, it changed a little bit the interior, but the architect was able to lower those stairwells so that the entire project or the entire elevation is below that 35 feet requirement. And then One thing that came up in our discussions was they added walls in between the townhomes and the commercial, again, to just create a little more of a buffer. There was some confusion last time about what fencing is existing, especially along that north side, and it is a masonry fence. The exact material, I'm not sure, but it would be the thing that we would ask them to install if they had to. So those are the changes. There's other safeguards and things that are in the development agreement. The number of units is 21, and you'll see that in the what was presented to you, there was a space right here. So in moving the units around, they filled that space with another unit. Again, in some ways to just make the open space usable. These one last thing, these units are also further from the adjacent property. And again, that's because they eliminated those two units there. We're able to reconfigure. It's a lot. These projects go through a lot of revisions. I'm happy to answer questions after the public hearing.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. All right, before we have the public hearing, we generally invite the applicant if there's anything they'd like to share, because we'd like the public to hear everything they possibly can before they weigh in so they don't feel like they're getting surprise information after. So if the applicant would like to share anything, you are invited to come on up and share whatever you'd like with the council and the public about this project before we open our public hearing. And we may have some questions. The council will ask questions after the public hearing because we'd like to hear from everyone before we ask ours, so we may have you come back up to answer.
Sounds great.
Brian Adams, 3160 West Clubhouse Drive, Lehigh, Utah, 84043. He went through all the changes that we've made from the in between the last two meetings, but I don't know if you have questions now or do we wait?
It'll be after. Okay. After we let the public speak.
Okay.
Just wondered if there was anything you wanted anybody
nope,
to hear.
No, nope, I don't have anything.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. I'm now going to open the public hearing on resolution R-2023-25. And I need to ask Mr. Luce. We've got two public hearings, the resolution and a zoning ordinance. We keep those separate?
Yes, please.
Okay. Just making sure. All right. We'll open the public hearing on resolution R-2023-25. Reminding those who wish to speak, either in person or online, of our protocol that we have here, and everyone gets 3 minutes. And please give us your name and address for the public record. Is there anyone here in person that would like to speak to this? You're welcome to come on up and join us at the microphone.
Tom Humanek, 11164 South Heather Grove Lane, South Jordan, Utah. So anyway, I think those changes are, you know, good compared to last time. Our only concern, or my only, one of the concerns I have is the cars that will be parked along Beckstead Lane. When you go from 106 South down from north to south, there's no place to park. there's no place to park until you get to this where this development starts, right? And that's always been that way. It's an open field. Our concern is, again, the parking that will go along on the street. It can be on either side, you know, from this development. So I would hope that maybe there's something in there that would prevent, you know, the cars that pile up on the outside of it, if that makes sense. So that's really our main concern, is the you know, traffic and the cars parked along the road, just as a hazard, really, you know. But anyway, that's all I have. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. Is there anyone else here in person that would like to speak during this public hearing? You're welcome to come to the mic.
Thank you, Mayor Ramsey and members of the City Council. My name is Chris Rollins. My current address is in Lehigh, but I own the vacant lot next to the development. I think it's 11175 Redwood Road or something. Honestly, I just want to actually say that my wife and I are excited about the prospect of moving here, and generally we're supportive of this project. Maybe some would say that it'd be better for us to live next to single-family homes, but we'd rather live next to townhomes than warehouses. And these are the type of homes that are the starter homes in Utah now. And we understand the need for them and the city's desire to have them. As I followed the process, I do want to say that I deeply appreciate Director Schaefermeyer, who's been very responsive as I've had questions. And I think that lots of the changes that have been made as we've gone through the process have been fantastic. If we had our preference, the one thing I would say is, in going from the study meeting to here, a unit got put back in. I understand that gap that they had in between was, I agree, that should have been taken out. Again, if we had our preference, we'd take out the one unit. It's unit 14 on the plan, which is the closest one to our lot, and that would allow them to put additional parking there. Though we do, again, appreciate the developer moving the buildings on the north a little bit further away from us. Another concern was privacy. I talked to Mr. Adams before the meeting, and he's pretty sure that there are no rooftop decks on the end units, which would kind of peer into our backyard, which we appreciate. We hope that's the case. The architect didn't arrive to confirm that, but if that's the understanding, then we appreciate that change and think that should be included. Let's see here. I'm trying to make sure I cover everything, but I am a little concerned with the parking on the street as well as the previous speaker, but I understand that it's a public street, so and knowing that there's part of the application is that the residents would be able to use the business parking, hopefully resolves a lot of that concern, because that would be more convenient parking for these residents. Let me see here. I think that's everything. Again, thanks to Director Schaefermeyer. Thanks to the to the applicant, and we look forward to being a resident hopefully soon. That's all
I've
got.
Thank you. Well, we look forward to having you be a resident hopefully soon, too. Yeah. Welcome in advance to South Jordan. Anyone else here in person that would like to speak during this public hearing? Okay, seeing none, is there anyone online that would like to speak to this item here in this public hearing? Please turn on your camera and give us a wave. Okay. Seeing no one else, thank you. We will close the public hearing on resolution R2023-25. Yeah, we're not. All right, I'm going to ask for some advice from Mr. Luce. The way we are set up, it appears that it is better for us to have our zoning ordinance public hearing next as well and then have our discussion. Do you agree or?
Yeah, I think it's appropriate to open and close both public hearings as they're basically for the same application, right. Just different phases of what we're doing.
Okay, just making sure. I thought so too, but I thought I want to make sure that we give proper time to each issue. All right, next we have a public hearing on zoning ordinance 2023-03-Z, which is rezoning property located at 11147 South Redwood Road from A5 Agricultural and R2.5 Single Family Residential Zones to RMPD, which is the Residential Multiple Planned Development Floating Zone. Anyone here in person that would like to speak during this public hearing? The time is now yours. Okay, seeing no one, is there anyone online that would like to speak during this public hearing? Okay, last call for anyone who would like to speak during this public hearing. Okay, seeing none, we will close this public hearing. Thank you, and move on to resolution R2023-25, authorizing the city and the developer to enter into a development agreement pertaining to the development of the property located at 11147 South Redwood Road. Council, I will turn to you and see if there is a motion or if you have discussion first. Generally, discussion happens after a motion, but we also want to make sure all your questions are answered. So if you have anything you'd like to bring up before considering a motion, you're welcome to.
I have a curiosity question.
Go ahead.
If I could, Mary, I'd like to ask Mr. Adams a question.
Absolutely. If that's, thank you, Mr. Adams.
Thank you. Thank you for the improvements you've made. I'm just curious about the tot lot. You did exactly what we asked. You enhanced it. Could you give us an idea from the previous version to this version? How many square feet or acreage? Do you have any idea? Did it double in size? Did it?
Justin's the engineer. He's here, so okay. He'll be able to give you the square footage.
I'm just curious. Visually, I can see it's grown. I just would like to know. And I love that the picnic area is in tandem with the tot right lot. That makes so much sense.
Beautiful. Justin Jones, same address, 3160 West, Clubhouse Drive in Lehigh. I believe we offset everything 5 feet in every direction, so it's 10 feet wider in each direction. Does that answer your question?
That helps. Just that tot lot.
Just the tot lot.
Okay. And then my last question for whoever. This gentleman was talking about privacy. On that, I think you said, is it a 9-foot easement between the wall on the north, the neighbors on the north, and then where your curb starts?
So
a 9-foot? Sorry.
Yeah, I'll just answer that. So Mr. Rollins, his property is to the south.
Oh,
so okay. His house doesn't actually exist yet.
Got it.
Their intent is
oh,
to build
is that. Lot.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
And
got
he
it.
Has R25 zoning. The townhomes are 21 feet on the north side from the property line, 21 feet away. And then on the west side, where his preference was to eliminate a unit, it's 10 feet away from the property.
My question is, we've talked about the mason wall on the north. The neighbors on the north side of that are super close, and they came last time. On that easement area that we don't have a sidewalk, which I totally agree with, are we requiring trees there to help with privacy to the neighbors on the north?
Yeah.
Are those trees, those circular things, or are those bushes?
Both.
Good. Okay, so we do have trees in there.
There was also... you can kind of tell at the T of both of those alleyways, they've put boulders.
Yeah.
That's kind of what right. has represented. In terms of like the number of trees throughout the project, there will be a requirement that, okay. that they'll have to follow, but the intent here is to roughly follow that.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you very much for this. Is you've gone through several iterations, and I, for one, am really grateful for your patience as we've worked together. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks.
Any other questions, concerns?
I'm ready for a motion.
Second, Mr. Shelton, go ahead.
I am curious what the soft surface sidewalk is. What material is that made of?
I believe that'll be, I think it's chat is kind of a term they use. It's a small, a fine, compacted material that tends to stay where you put it. It won't be like a gravel. It'll be a compacted material that's
similar
really
to what
fine.
They would use on a high school track.
Yeah, warning track, or yeah, similar to that.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. If there are no other questions, I'll turn to Mr. Marler.
Mayor, I'll move that we approve Resolution R-2023-25.
Thank you. We have a motion by Mr. Marler. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
The second by Mrs. Zander. Any additional discussion? Okay. My discussion is just that we've ridden you hard on this. and I think ultimately this is a much better project. But I can't tell you how much I appreciate, and I think everybody involved, and I think we've heard it from a lot of parties, how much we appreciate your patience and your willingness to work with us. And I think you've done a really good job with this. So thank you for that. With that, I'm going to ask Mrs. Crookston if she will please lead the council in a roll call vote.
Councilmember Marler?
Yes.
Councilmember Zander?
Yes.
Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
And Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Thank you. We now have Zoning Ordinance 2023-03-Z, rezoning property located at 11147 South Redwood Road from A5 Agricultural to R2.5 Single Family Residential Zones to RMPD Residential Multiple Plan Development Floating Zone. Try saying that three times fast. Anyway, we have the zoning ordinance application before us, and I'm going to ask if there is a motion on this zoning ordinance.
Madam Mayor, I'll move that we approve Zoning Ordinance 2023-03-Z.
Thank you. We have a motion by Mr. Shelton. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Marler. Any additional discussion to this zoning ordinance?
Yes. Please. I just have some comments. So, you know, with this being my district, I just wanted to take the time to thank all the residents who've shown up and they sent, I've either talked on the phone, sent emails, showed up in person to address the issues. There were a number of issues that were addressed. And I want to thank the council for taking the time to not just accept it how it was originally, And being willing to go back and say, well, we are going to, you know, make this a better project. You know, from where it was to where it is today is much better. And sometimes as a council member, you know, that's what we do is we get in there. It's not necessarily we just vote for something or against something. Sometimes we do everything. We say, hey, what can we do to make this the best project possible? And so there was a lot of time and effort that went into place. You know, city staff, you know, took a lot of those listened to you know, the direction of council to try to steer it that way. I know the developers were receptive to that, and so I just want to thank everyone for getting it to where it is today.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Anyone else? All right. Seeing none, we have a motion on the table. I will ask Mrs. Crookston to please lead the council in a roll call vote.
Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Councilmember Marler?
Yes.
Councilmember Zander?
Yes.
Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Thank you. That rezone is approved. I'd like really quickly to, first of all, again, say thank you and appreciate you, and please pass along to Mr. Salt that we I appreciate his patience and all the work that's gone into this. I want to also address, Tom, I apologize. I didn't get your last name right. I wrote what I thought you might have said with a question mark, so I don't know if I got your last name right. But Tom was your first name. Is that right?
Yes.
Sir, okay. I just wanted to address, I appreciate your concern. I get that. And just want you to know that one of the things that we worked really hard with these developers and the property owners on was parking, adding more parking, more parking, more parking, additional parking. How can we share parking? So, I can't ever guarantee what parking on the street will or won't look like. A great deal of effort and a lot of back and forth work has gone into adding a lot of parking inside the development to try to make it convenient for the folks who live there and to kind of keep it from our goal. No one's goal is for that to become a problem. So, I can't say there won't ever be parking on the street. Anyway, just wanted you to know we were very mindful of that as well and had a lot of discussion and a lot of work to try to include more parking than is usual in this space in the area. So just wanted to let you know that. And we'll hope for the best with that and hope that that works well. But a lot of work's gone into it. There's a lot of parking and a high parking ratio. Because we've learned from other things that happened maybe before our time and other times what that looks like when there's not enough parking. And so we've tried to be really diligent about that. So I don't know if that helps or not, but just wanted you to know that. With that, we've come to item J on our agenda, which is our staff reports and calendaring items. So I will turn to Mr. Lewis and see what you have for us.
I just have one item that I wanted to find out from you if it'll work or not. The Chamber of Commerce is looking to host a breakfast with the City Council for our businesses to have a chance to chat with you about the great things happening in our city. And the date that they have proposed to hold that, it would be here at our City Hall, is Friday, September 29th, which would be early that morning. It's a Friday. If that would work on the majority of your calendars, we'd like to work with the Chamber and host that for our business community here. Is there any major red flags you guys see with that date?
And I think they're offering to put it on, right?
Yes.
They would put it on and just organize it for us to come and interact with business leaders of the city and let them come and interact with us. And
they've done this with some others of the cities here in the southwest part of the valley that are part of the chamber, and it's been well received by the businesses to have a chance to hear what's happening and get a chance to talk with each of you. And
you're referring to the South Valley Chamber.
Yes, sorry, I should have been more clear.
What was the time on that again, 8?
We would probably do it early. I would imagine it's a 7:30.
Okay.
You'll send out a calendar.
I just want to make sure it looks good on your calendars, and if it does, I'll work out the details, and then we'll send you the official invite.
You're supposed to do it, but that's my pickleball morning.
we know you won't be there.
So I will sacrifice and come, but Friday morning is my pickleball.
Well,
not that day. I'll give it up.
It'll be a chance for somebody else to find out.
You're sharing the court.
Yeah, you have to be there extra early the next week.
Does that sound good? We'll shoot for that date then.
Okay. Get that on the calendars then?
Yep, I'll get it on your calendars. I'll confirm with Mr. Francis tomorrow, and then we'll go from there. That's all I have, Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Rasmussen. Oh.
Sorry, can I take just a moment? I asked Mr. Garrison to just share a few pictures. So we were actually called by Draper City to help in their response to the flooding a week and a half ago. And so it's something that we actually get called on quite often to do. And so I just wanted to share a few pictures he has prepared. That's nice. Our stormwater and sanitation measure.
Very nice.
You can see all the sediment there. And I'll turn it over to Mr. Garrison to talk about these.
Yeah, so last week we spent a few days helping Draper with their cleanup efforts from the storm, the monsoon storms we had a couple weeks ago.
Talking to the mic there.
Oh, yeah, sorry. They experienced quite a bit of infrastructure damage, and then you can see the sediment build up. Draper has natural sand for soil up there, so a lot of that water washed the sand and that soil out onto the roads, and to mitigate that or to get traffic able to pass through, they use their snow plows to push that so that they could have a temporary access for cars. But there's a picture of our stormwater manager next to some of that buildup right there on the side of their road. Here's some infrastructure damage that they had.
That pipe is
Yeah, that's a stormwater pipe. The amount of water they experienced up there was over 2 inches in a very short amount of time. Here's some other stormwater pipe, and you can see the combo box down in the right corner, how it made its way down there from all the water. You can see right there, those are the catch basins. They were completely full of sediment. And so that's what we spent a lot of time doing was we had 2 vectors out there cleaning those boxes out for them and trying to jet the lines so that any other storms they would have capacity for. We sent a street sweeper out to help kind of clean it up too. There's what it looks like with the grade off. There's our guys working. A continuation of that. There's our street sweeper dumping the sediment. That right there is what the box looked like after we vacked it out. We're trying to get our jet rod down there, and you can see that it's compacted with sand, so we spend a lot of time trying to clean those pipes for them. And that's all that I have to show.
Yeah, that's very nice of you guys to do that.
Yeah, they had a help from us and Sandy. It really helped them out to prepare for future storms.
Yeah,
it was a lot of work.
If I may, I want to say thank you to the staff as well, because I knew that Mayor Walker had declared a state of emergency early, and our teams had already contacted Draper to offer help and assistance, and we're already on it. Like, our as soon as it happened, our staff was on it. The mayor declared a state of emergency. I talked to him. We were already mobilized. Like, South Jordan was already helping. And I want to thank you for that, everyone involved with that. And I had a couple of meetings and a couple of phone calls with Mayor Walker today, and he just can't express enough his appreciation for the support and the aid and his commitment that Draper's here for us if we need anything. But nice. They appreciate it. They have been a mess. So thank you.
Mayor, just for your knowledge base, police, fire, public works all have interlocal agreements to help and do that. So they can go, and we've already worked out who pays for what when things break or someone gets hurt and all the liability and stuff. And I think, Jason, didn't you? You were part of putting that together 4 or 5 years ago for public works.
Yeah, we have one for public
works. Yeah, and then police and fire have theirs. And so there's a lot of sharing of services, like when Sandy's public works center burned down a few years ago and things like that. And we'll have our turn. We all know that.
Knock on wood. We don't want our turn.
We already had the bomb. I think we're safe.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. We're happy to give people a chance to serve, but we had a turn. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. No, thank you, really, everyone. Thank you. Anything else from either of you? No. Mr. Luce, do you have anything for us? No?
No.
Okay. Anyone over here?
I think Mr. McGuire wanted me to.
Hopefully that pops up. So,
I recognize that.
Yeah, somebody lives in here, but and then of course this is Harriman High School down here. So this subdivision right here in Harriman attends Aspen Elementary School, and this resident, her name's Kelsey Murdoch. Is that the one I got to hold you?
Yeah, I think so.
Anyhow, she did a lot of work. So the safe walking route from this subdivision is to go down here, up here, over here, and then up. And she claims that she must have walked it. 1.8 miles, 23 intersections, and 55 minutes of walk.
I'm sure she's not wrong. That's not actually a convenient route for an elementary school at all.
So then she also looked at if she just went straight up like this, and that's 0.8 miles, 11 intersections, and 25 minutes. And then she did a lot of work. And then another option, she looked at going over to Prosperity up and then over, and she said that was 1.3 miles, 12 intersections, and 35 minutes. And I know Jeremy Nielsen, who works for me, our traffic engineer, met with the city engineer Harriman the other day out here with her and to take a look at this. And the issue is she would like to see the kids cross right here, but it's a 5-lane road section As we know, the speeds are a little high through there coming down, and I don't think there's any way safe to cross there unless we were to work together and put a hawk signal in. The other option is ultimately there will be a traffic signal here, but it's not ready or warranted yet. You know, and then the issue too is you got the charter school here, which creates a lot of traffic, and then this area is under construction, and so not only is that a long route for the kids, but they're kind of crossing a dangerous area. So I think you just want to discuss this, let the council know it's kind of out there. And school districts change boundaries. It could change in the near
future. That's what I was going to say. So yeah. Is it worth having a conversation if it's too hard to cross safely? Because that existing route is terrible.
Right.
I will tell you from experience, that's not good.
No, it's not a good route.
But I wonder if it's worth having a conversation with the district about the potential of that brand new neighborhood that's barely going in. No one's established. No one has. It's new. Brand new. Maybe transferring them to Harriman Elementary to the south because it can't be a further distance and it's a much safer route.
Yeah. Right.
And it's their I mean, we could talk to them about it if that's helpful. I mean, I don't know if they do it or not, but if there's not a good traffic solution to it.
And I just wanted to bring it up because it falls on to us to provide the safe walking route in our city. Even though it's servicing another city, it still affects us.
So, I don't know if that is Dawn, something you could, are you still liaison with school district?
I'm meeting with Dr. Godfrey the end of this month. I have a one-on-one scheduled with him the end of this month. Would you like me to bring it up? Do you want to reach out to?
I talked to Scott.
Talk to Scott, see what he thinks. I can bring it up to the superintendent. Okay. We can tag team and just see, because... Yeah, that is a valid concern.
Yeah, it's not going to solve it for this school year, but it will help for next year.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, we'll probably have a signal at Prosperity, but that's down the road a number of years. And quite frankly, they've gotten really expensive. They're approaching $300,000 now for a traffic signal. So, and a hawk signal has gone from $100,000 to about $160,000. So, I mean, whatever the cost would be split with Harriman, but they're all expensive options.
And it's still such a busy road.
Yeah.
It's going to just keep getting busier.
It's going to get busier. So,
okay.
Anyhow, that's it. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for bringing that to us. Make some notes and kind of tag team talk about that. Thank you. Anyone else? Anything for us? Rachel, anything for us? No? Okay, by way of note, just wanted to let you know this Thursday at the Regional Growth Committee of the Wasatch Front Regional Council, it is being proposed that they certify the first station area plan for South Jordan City, the one that we submitted, our first one we've submitted that statutorily we have to do. Only two have been approved so far, Farmington and Salt Lake City. This would be, there's two on the agenda for that day, so, and ours is one of them. And so just FYI that hopefully we'll be able to get our station area plan that we submitted certified, and that would be a really good thing. A great thing for us to do. We are required to do it, but it's always nice to lead out. Mm-hmm. And so just FYI, that's Thursday. So I'll be there to speak. And
which, is it all the stations?
No. Do you want to give a refresher?
Yeah, this is just the 4800 West and Old Bingham. It's the one where we...
The one by you.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we'd say, well, we can't really do anything.
Yeah, prior action. We've done what we can do. Yeah. We have plans in place to improve connections and impracticability in terms of redevelopment and more housing, those types of things. So
I know my wife had put an apartment complex in the back there.
It's the first one that's based on impracticability and prior action. Depending on how it goes and what feedback we get, we intend to dive into the three daybreak stations.
Hopefully it goes well Thursday and we get that approved.
Great.
I just wanted you to be aware that is happening Thursday, and that's a big one for us. That's big. So anyway, anyone have anything else? If not, I want to make sure I ask for the right thing. Hold on. I'm going to ask for a motion to recess the city council meeting, and we will take a five-minute break to recess our city council meeting, and after our five-minute break, move us to executive closed session for the discussion of the purchase, exchange, or lease of real property.
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right. Okay, we will thank everyone who's here with us, and we'll